St. Paul says to the Christians in Corinth, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. You like to brag? You like to boast? It's essential. It's unavoidable. It's necessary. Boasting is good. Bragging is good. But what is the source and content of your boast? What is our bragging rights? Jesus, of course. You see why I love the ministry of CMAC? Because unashamedly, it's about Jesus. It's about taking the love of God and making sure that we invest it in the lives of our neighbor. But we do it in the name of Jesus, always. Now, there are some who forget what the main purpose of the church is: to preach the gospel, to hear the gospel, to worship and praise God. And so they'll do a Lenten series in the newspaper, and they'll tell you, well, why don't you practice the Lenten discipline of drinking tea? This is nuts. This is crazy. And no wonder Jesus gets upset when people are called to preach the gospel and called to come into God's house, a house of prayer and praise for worship. And instead, tables are set up and we start selling things so that we can pay our bills. We want the world to pay our bills. When in fact God calls the church to get into the world and bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ for free. Not buying and selling, but giving it away. Upon the cross of Jesus, my eye at times can see the very form of the suffering one who bled and died for me. And with my contrite heart and tears to wonders I confess the wonder of his glorious love and my unworthiness. We have to boast. Jesus gives us bragging rights. People are always wanting to boast about something, right? St. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified. Now, the cross is foolishness. It's nonsense. It's ridiculous in the eyes of the world for those who are perishing. But for those of us who are being saved, the power of God, the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God for you, the sanctification of God for you, the redemption of God's people. Consider your call, Paul says. You know why God chose you? Because you're morons. That's the Greek word in our text for tonight. Morneo. Moronic. God chooses what is idiotic and foolish, moronic, to shame the wise. He chooses what is weak in this world to shame the strong. And he chooses what is low and of no account, nothing in the eyes of the world, to shame those who do nothing but exalt themselves. Let the one who boasts, and Paul assumes that we're going to do plenty of it, boast in the Lord. You like to boast, you like to brag, right? Most of us in this world, we hear bragging and boasting all the time. Reminds me of a story. I grew up in Wisconsin, you know that. Dairyland State. A dairy farmer with 125 acres in Wisconsin having a conversation with a big Texan rancher. And when the dairy farmer says, well, I milk cows and I've got 125 acres, the Texan, the rancher, he says, that's nothing. He said, I get up at sunset, I get in my pickup, and by the time I reach the fence at the end of my property, it's sunset. Yeah, said the dairy farmer, I used to have a pickup like that too. What's our brag? What's our boast? You've seen the bumper stickers, right? Proud parent. Proud parent of what? Well, of a scholar. Straight A's? The biggest house? The best car? I mean, what is it exactly is the grounding or the source or the content of our boasting? Wouldn't it be great? I mean, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with saying proud parent of a soldier. It's pretty cool when someone, for example, wins a gold medal in the Olympics or when someone gets a perfect score on that college entrance exam, SAT or ACT. Pretty cool. What's the basis of our boast? What about if we had a bumper sticker that we put on our cars and trucks that said, proud parent of a child who's a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Proud parent of a disciple of Christ who worships the Lord every day. A proud parent of, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, we should be proud of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. This is the source of our boasting. We should be out there boasting and bragging, but not so that we can pat ourselves on the back, but so that we can bring others to saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's our boast. That's our bragging. In our gospel reading for tonight, Jesus is turning over tables because the religious establishment has gone astray. Big time. First of all, remember it's Passover, one of the three pilgrimage festivals when all the Jews were supposed to travel from a great distance up to Jerusalem to the temple so that they could, in the Father's house, offer prayer and praise, worship. Now, if you come from a big distance, and you've got to bring some of your grain and produce, and you've got to bring some of your livestock for the sacrifices, like the Passover meal, etc., that has to be unblemished, by the way, and if you're coming from a distance where you don't happen to have a lot of shekels in your pocket, you've got to figure out a way to convert that money. Well, lo and behold, the religious establishment said, we can help you out. Don't worry about the coins you have in your pocket. We'll take care of it. We'll exchange that bad currency for the good currency. Don't worry about the livestock and stuff, having to transport all that, because on the way, that perfect unblemished lamb could fall and break its leg or become a cripple. We'll take care of it for you. Yeah, they took care of it. They set up the tables. And they did it at the expense of the people of God. In the name of religion, they did it. Jesus is not happy. Can you imagine if someone set up a table at a laundromat and said, yeah, you can only use quarters. Yeah, but I don't have any quarters on me. I got dollar bills. You kind of go, not a problem. Give me a dollar bill, I'll give you three quarters. You mean you give me four quarters? No, I said I'll give you three quarters for your dollar bill because I need something for my time, huh? I mean, I'm selling you a service, you know. I should be rewarded, right? They were fleecing the people. These were God's people. These were God's religious leaders were doing this. And Jesus comes in and he takes the rope and he makes a cord and he just starts sending those flyers and the coins and the animals scattering and flying here, there, and everywhere. And the disciples remembered. I love this. Pay attention to that in our gospel for tonight, John 2. The disciples remembered. That's what disciples do. They remembered the word. Psalm 69, verse 9. Zeal for your house will consume me. You've taken my Father's house. My Father's house, Jesus says. My Father's house. A house of prayer. And you've made it into a house of trade. I mean, I expect to find bargains in the shopping mall or in the grocery store. I expect to find God's means of grace when I come into his house of prayer. and you expect to find Jesus, who promises to be present for you in word and in sacrament. A religious system and religious leaders who have lost the main thing. And suddenly, the main thing is put on the back burner or isn't even noticeable at all anymore. And in the name of Jesus, some people are leading people into captivity. The Passover celebration, it was all about boasting about God. God had taken nobody's slaves, claiming them as his people, and bringing them out of captivity and bondage in Egypt. The 10 plagues, the 10th one being the angel of death, passing over because of the blood of the unblemished lamb. This should have been the celebration. Passover was supposed to be celebrated every year, boasting about our great God. And you see what they've done? And Jesus is rightly upset. They look at him and they say, "What gives you the right? This is our place, you know. What gives you the right to come in here and mess up our place and turn these tables over and create this chaos?" Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it again." Did you hear what they said? "It's taken us 46 years to build our place, to build our temple. 46 years. They didn't know he was talking about the temple of his body. And Paul in Corinth, in the Corinthian letter, will remind them, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss that. The temple is you, where God's presence resides through the crucified and risen Jesus. The church is not brick and mortar, my friends. That's what a lot of people have zeal for. Seriously. Oh, they got zeal for their brick and mortar, but not for God's house of prayer and worship that is to bring people to saving faith in Christ. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I'll raise it. So we can say the same to others, because you and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides in you, in me. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. Glorify God in your body. That's what Paul says to the Corinthians. What does that mean? Well, we say to people, go ahead, take your best shot, destroy this temple. And in 3 days, or maybe one day, or overnight, or in a split second, the one who on the third day rose from the dead, he has promised to raise this body, his temple back to life, your body, your temple back to life. You want a sign? Jesus has just, at the wedding in Cana, they ran out of wine, and he's turned water into wine, so much that they can't drink it all, and the best that they've ever tasted. And it said, and God the Father was glorified, and they believed. Tables, like the two tables in our first reading, love of God, love of neighbor, the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of captivity in Egypt. That's who I am, a promising God, a delivering God. So we can trust God when he gives us his word, his law, his rules, his tables. We can trust God when he puts on his table the body and blood of his only begotten Son. Everybody wants to talk about boasting and bragging in our world, huh? And they want to do it on the basis of pedigree and performance. Try this on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How's that for pedigree? Jesus Christ died on a Good Friday cross for the forgiveness of your sins. How's that for performance? Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. A man came to church. On a Sunday morning, he parked in one of those spots that was near the front door, got out, started to walk. He was a visitor, never been there before, walking up the front sidewalk to the church for worship. And someone yells at him from the parking lot and says, "Hey, mister, you parked in my place. That's the spot I park in. You took my place." He just kept walking, this visitor, this stranger. He just kept walking into the church, found out that Sunday school was about to begin, and there was an adult class. So he went into the adult class, and there was some open chairs, and he went in and he sat down. And a few minutes later, here comes somebody in there, and he says, "That's where I sit every week for the adult study. You're in my place." After the adult class was over, he went into worship, sat down in an open pew. Somebody comes and says, "That's where I always sit on Sunday morning for worship. You're in my place. You took my place." Worship begins, and the people are praying for Jesus to make himself known. And suddenly, this visitor, this stranger, he stands up, and there are scars, wounds in his hands and on his feet where he's wearing sandals. And someone next to him says, "What happened to you?" And he said, "I took your place. I took your place." That's what Jesus has done for you and for me, for the forgiveness of our sins. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, the power of God, the wisdom of God, in Christ, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Boasting is good. God has given you bragging rights, you know. Let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For everything you are, everything you have, and everything you do is by the grace of God. You are not a self-made person. You are a God-made and designed child of the Heavenly Father. So boast. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.